For our reading this morning, if you please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll be reading verse 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 17. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God as of sincerity, but as from God. We speak in the sight of God in Christ.
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Hey, it works.
Morning.
Good morning. First of all, I want to ask you a question. As we were singing that last song, and Stan was leading us, I thought about just starting to sing it again. But I just want to ask you a question. Do you believe what we sang? That there is a God? Because if you do, then you will live like it. We all have problems with that, don't we? And that's a little something that we're going to talk about this morning. But there is a God. He is alive. So, a couple things here, just real quick. I apologize for the way I'm dressed. Again, I'm heading to work. So, as soon as I'm done, I will walk out the door and be gone. So, you won't have to be able to go up to me and say, I didn't like that, you know, but you can see me later next week about that. So I apologize for that, but that's just the way my life is right now. This morning, my son is also preaching in Crosby, Arkansas. Isaac is, and he's been doing that a few times. Jordan has been there to see him preach and some others down there. And we're just so proud of him. And I know that his grandfather and grandmother would be as well. But one of the things I'm a little upset about him this morning with is I think he took my Bible. So hopefully he's using that this morning as a preaching Bible, because it's my preaching Bible. It's what I use to preach with, because I hate carrying this big study Bible around. So if some of you get on, I don't get on Facebook that much, but if some of you get on Facebook, just tell him that I said that and ask him if he's got my Bible, and that I'll be looking forward to having it back over Thanksgiving. So my wife and I were about a week and a half ago, so we were over in Harrisburg. We were going to see Joe Barge in the hospital. And because of my diabetes and my health, I had to eat, and so we were looking for a place to eat. And of course, since, you know, Isaac's gone and we're empty nesters, we've been kind of doing that a lot lately. And so we were looking for a place that, you know, was maybe a little different. And we were going down Jonestown Road, and we saw this place called The Mission. How many of you have been to The Mission? The Mission? No? Are you serious? Huh? Yeah, Mission Barbecue. Okay. I mean, it says The Mission, but on the outside of it. And actually, on the truck, Mission Barbecue, on the truck, it actually says The Mission, all right? So it started me thinking about some things that, you know, we walked in there, and it's all about the military and thanking our military people for their service to the country. And I started thinking about that in relationship to our lives as Christians, and I just wanted to share some thoughts with you this morning. This has always been in my heart since I was very, very young. But I got to tell you that with the struggles that we all have, doesn't matter who you are, you know, sin is a part of our lives. shouldn't be, but is, because of the choices we made early on. And so it gets in our way of actually the mission. We all have a mission. The military has a mission. That mission is to defend the Constitution and the people of the United States of America. And they do that with their lives. And they do that with all kinds of very small missions that are carried out, such as you have the military that's down here in the New Cumberland Army Depot that are supplying supplies to our troops so that they continue to have what they need to continue to live and to do the work that they need to do for us to continue their mission. You have so many other departments, the engineering department, the executive branches and all the different levels of the military, they all have a mission. But it ultimately comes back to that same ultimate mission. And each one of those is carried out to the best of their absolute ability. And if it's not, they pay the consequences. And we've heard about some of those consequences. Some of those consequences could literally be their death if they make mistakes out in the war zones. So they carry their missions, each individual mission, out to the nth degree, to the best of their ability. And they have that mission always, that main mission always in the forefront of their minds. If they didn't, why are they doing this? Well, some people say, well, they're doing it, you know, so that they can, you know, they couldn't find a job in real life, and so they went into the military, and, you know, then they'll have some money and they'll have a job, you know, and then they can get out and da 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 da. You know what? I don't buy that. They might go initially into it that way, some of them, but the bottom line is that they are going to put their lives literally on the line, many of them, for our liberty. No one just does that because they want a job. So these folks have a mission. And they know what that mission is going to take. And they know what it takes to fulfill that ultimate mission of defending us and protecting us and our Constitution. That mission is the ultimate importance to them. But I think we forget that mission in our lives because of sin getting in the way. We forget what it means to be on a mission. The mission. This morning I want to talk to you about three things in the few minutes that we have left. The mission, number one. The message. And the man. Those three things. Very simple. The mission, the message, and the man. You saw there in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and following, and I would like to challenge you with something this morning that we're not going to have time to go through this. You know, I had a preacher at the college church. He had actually gone to school with my dad at Lipscomb, Jim Woodruff, who spoke about this, the aroma of Christ. He wrote a book about it, and he spoke about this in college church for weeks. We don't have weeks. We have 20 minutes. So I want to challenge you to take 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 through 6, 2, chapter 6, verse 2, and read it tonight. Read it. Just read it through. And as you read it, try to think about some of the things we talked about here today. Think about your life and how that it actually measures up to what's happening there in this passage of Scripture. Because you see, as you saw in these few verses that were read, we are the aroma of Christ. You know, today I don't smell that good. You know, I had a very bad night, and to be honest with you, I didn't shower, which I apologize for that. But, you know, and then I got to go to work, and I'm just not feeling well, and I don't smell very good. But you know what? When it comes to Christ, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. We have been given a mission. That mission is to be the aroma of Christ. And it goes through this passage, through chapter 3, through chapter 4, through chapter 5, and into chapter 6, and it tells us our life history with reference to Christianity and Christ and how we are in Him and who we are. And at the end of that, at the end of chapter 5, it tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are actually sharing this message that Christ has for us to the world, to everyone that we come in contact with. We are the aroma of Christ. We are the ambassadors of Christ. And therefore, we have to stand firm. We have to be bold. We have to understand that we have the power to do what we need to do because God has given us that power. We are the aroma of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. We are their His ambassadors. We are in between them and God. Those who have not accepted, do not believe, do not have hope, do not have life, and those of us who do, and God. We, those of us who do, are His ambassadors. We are representing God to the world. So how do we do that? So the next step that I believe that we have to remember is the mission. Every day. You know, the mission was given. It was very simple. Jesus, when He left this earth, gave the mission. He said, go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you even until the end of the age. Matthew chapter 28, 18, 19, and 20. So He's given us the mission. Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. That's our mission, is to go and to talk about this gospel, this good news. And what is the good news? Is that Jesus, the Son of God, who we just talked about, who this young man actually said He gave us all things. And I appreciate your heart. Keep growing. Keep growing. He gave us all things through Jesus. Everything. We have no excuse. But we let the world get in the way. He's given us all that we need to be in His army. You know, we sang that as a kid, right? We're in the Lord's army. So some of you might not have grown up in the church, but there was a song that we sang, and we stood up in Vacation Bible School, and we marched and we did the wave, and we flew the planes, and we shot the artillery, and when we sang that song, we were talking about being in the Lord's army. We are in His military. We are His soldiers. And we put on the armor of Christ, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6. We put on the armor of Christ so that we have the sword of the Spirit and the word of truth. We are fitted out so that we can walk in this world and be that military that needs to be given to the world to have as well. So they can be a part of this army. Because the devil prowls around. He looks for you. He's waiting for you to just step out of line so that he can jump in there and get in your mind. He's trying so hard that he can just push you off just a little bit. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Then all of a sudden you're not coming on Sunday mornings. You're not coming on Sunday nights. You're not coming on Wednesday nights. You're not meeting with the brothers and sisters. You're not talking to your brothers and sisters. You're not reading God's word. You're not praying. You're not striving to live a life of Christ. And He's won. That's His goal. That's Satan's goal. And he is powerful at it. He is powerful at it. So the mission is obvious, right? He's given it to us. The message is also obvious. The good news. That the Son of God came down to earth and put on the form of man. He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, Philippians chapter 2 says. But he emptied himself, taking on the very form of a man. And became obedient as a servant to death, even death on a cross. This is the Son of God doing this for us. All right? He didn't have to do that. He chose to do that. He chose to do that. And when he did that, it became good news because you know what? We can't earn it. We can't do it. So he did it for us. And let me tell you just a little bit of an aside there for you to remember when we have this gathering up here, when we remember his death. It wasn't so much as horrific as it was that he died on a cruel cross on Calvary and that he went through the suffering that he went through. It was worse than that. So much worse than that. That we can't even come close to imagining that when he took on the sins of the world, his father had to turn his back on him. He took on the sins of everyone that had ever lived before and ever will live after. He took their sins onto himself and was sacrificed for you, for me, and for everyone. We can't even comprehend or fathom what that is. We can't even come close to imagining the evil that that encompasses. We can't even come close to imagining the darkness that is in that. And God is not about evil or darkness. He's about life and light. And he can't be in the presence of darkness. And so he had to turn his back on his only son. Next time you sit around this table and you think about that, you think about your sins that have caused God to turn his back on his only son. So that's the good news, that he was willing to do that. He loves you so much that he's willing to do that. And has done it, and given us hope, and given us the ability to reveal his glory through us. As it says later on in that passage of scripture in chapter 3, that we are being transformed daily into an ever-increasing glory of Jesus Christ. Verse 18, chapter 3. And then into chapter 4, it says that we have this message in earthen vessels. This is where I want to spend the rest of the time we have, just 10 minutes left, to talk to you about something that I think will help us, all right? Everything I've said so far, you've heard, you know. Whether or not it daily takes an effect on you, that's what I'm hoping to remind you, that it needs to, all right? It needs to. But let me give you a little something to hold on to help you with this. Because we see the mission. We see, you know, the person who actually gave us that message of reconciliation, which is talked about in the same passage in chapter 5. Through his death on the cross, he has given us that message of reconciliation. He's given it to us in earthen vessels, as it says in chapter 4. And I don't know about you, but my earthen vessel is not in such hot shape. It's just not. And there's a lot of you out there that can, you understand. You understand how I feel. It's not easy to live every day when you have an earthen vessel that is in such poor shape that it's difficult to even get out of bed. That it's difficult to even focus on the task at hand. That it's difficult to even put thoughts together sometimes. You know, people have it worse out there. I know that. You know? But it doesn't matter whether you are a cancer victim in stage 4 brain cancer. It doesn't matter whether you're a diabetic. It doesn't matter whether you're a kidney recipient. It doesn't matter whether you're a heart patient. It doesn't matter what ailment you have. It's an earthen vessel that God can use. Yes, sir. He can use it, and you have to be willing to let him do that. That's where I want to spend the rest of the time talking about, because you see, Jesus has given us an example. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, actually tells us that the way he suffered is how we are to suffer. It's an example of how we are to suffer. So let's look at some things that we can maybe take from God's word to help us in that. Philippians chapter 4, I would like all of you, if you don't mind, it's not going to be up here. I would like all of you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible with you, take it out of the pew. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. And I want you to read with me, starting in verse 4, and we're going to read through verse 9. There's two things I want to tell you with reference to this about my wife. My wife, she has a little sticker up above her kitchen sink that says small things make, let's see, big differences. That's it. Small things make big differences. I see it daily, but every time I see it, it encourages me. I just can't remember, there it goes. It's the earthen vessel thing going on. But small things make big differences. You've seen other signs like that. But you remember what I said about the military and all those little missions that have to take place? You see, if they didn't get their supplies, they'd starve to death. If they didn't have people trying to engineer ways to get into things and to develop things to where they could actually set up, their platoons and their different setups for them to be able to go out from there to their different missions, they wouldn't have that, and they wouldn't be able to do their mission as well. Every part of the mission is important, and all those little missions have to take place for the big mission to be accomplished. The same thing is true in the church. God has given us an ultimate mission. And every day, each one of us has a little mission. And every single day, that little mission changes. And what I want to tell you today is that you have a choice in how you're going to accomplish that mission. So the second thing I want to tell you is that my wife has been bugging me since I got married to remember this passage of Scripture. And she has told our kids all of their lives. And I think it's one of the biggest things that's made the difference in all five of our kids' lives. Because that passage of Scripture actually does make a difference. If you take it to heart. But you have to take it to heart. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. What? Do not be anxious? How many of us are anxious almost every day?
We all are.
Oh, come on.
We all are.
Are you kidding me? Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. But with prayer and supplication, present your request to God. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. All right? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And here's the final thing. And the final thing I want to tell you in the last 5 minutes, which is not enough. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. Are you hearing what Paul is saying? Paul is sitting in a prison writing this letter. He just got done, or is getting ready to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which we take that out of context all the time, as the kids in the high school class we talked about a few weeks ago. He's in prison. God didn't let him get out. He's in prison. Here he is, in prison, telling the Philippians, who are going to be going through some horrible things coming up, saying, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the peace, and the God of peace will be with you. I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm emotional, but this has become a tremendous passage to me. Because of my wife, I've known it all my life. But the older I get and the more things I run into, the more the devil tries so hard to take my focus away from the mission, to take my focus away from the message, to take my focus away from the man, Jesus, who came for me, who died for me, who gave me hope, who gives me purpose, who gives me direction, who gives me the discipline I need to actually do and accomplish the things that I need to every day. He wants to take that away from me. He's trying so hard every day with this earthen vessel to do that, and with other things in life. You know, last week Russell talked about addictions. You want to take addictions away? Then do it through Jesus, as he said, and do it by doing exactly what it says here. Because let me tell you something. Whatever is true, if you think about the things that are true in your life, what is true in your life? Number one and foremost is God. He's truth. He's everything. If when Satan starts to hit you and things start to get you down and life starts to happen to you, you start thinking about God and what he has done for you, all of a sudden thankfulness starts to come through. You start to realize that I can rejoice in all things. That I can be thankful. That I don't have to be anxious. So, next, what does it say? Whatever is noble? What is noble? It's a higher character, right? It's a higher character. What, you know, if you think about people that have had an impact on your life, if you think about the people that are important to you in your life, all of a sudden you're starting to realize that there's people that I can look to for help, that I can ask for help. It's a fellowship. Your family here. You have help. So when you think about things that are noble, there are things that you can reach up to and hold on to and grab a hold of, and you know that they're there. All right? Whatever is right. That's an obvious one, right? The Word of God is right. When you start reading this, it's right. There's nothing untrue about it. So when you start to read this, it teaches you things that can divide your soul and marrow. It helps you to actually understand things. He's given us all things. He helps us understand why we're here, why we've been given the life that we've been given. But you know what? This is only a short period. Yes, sir. Eternity is forever. So live the mission. Speak the message. Live the message and talk about the man. Show him to others. Reveal that glory. Whatever is lovely. Wow. I look at my family. It's lovely. And not everyone here has that ability. But you have ways of looking at other things that are lovely to you. Your friendship with others. Things that have happened to you in your life that God had a part in. God is lovely in every way. It puts your whole mindset in a different place. Whatever is admirable. wow. I admire a lot of you, and I admire a lot of things. If I thought about those things all the time, when I'm down, when I'm having trouble, it can't keep me there. It can't keep me there. Whatever is excellent or praiseworthy. Who is praiseworthy? God. God and God alone is praiseworthy. Right? God. So when you're having trouble at work, when you're having trouble in your life, when you're having trouble with your health, when you're having trouble with your boss, when you're having trouble with a spouse or a sibling, you know, when you're having trouble in your life, think about such things. Think about such things. And when you dwell on these things, those things, God takes care of them. He takes care of them. They're not that big in the big picture. So remember your mission. Remember the message that it gives you. Remember the man. Live your life in such a way that you think about such things on a daily basis, remembering that this is only for a short time. Your real life is for eternity. If you have a need, won't you come together as we stand and sing?
My Jesus, for thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior.